2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning we begin a new series that I've titled Passing the Baton of Faith. That's why I have this actual real-life racing baton up here. You can get these on Amazon. Prime will have them to you in 2 days for under $7. We're beginning a new series, Passing the Baton of Faith. It's a study through 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul's final letter. In the ancient city of Rome, you can view what remains of the Mamertine prison. Here's a picture of it on the screen. It's a dungeon in the ground. That's it. It's literally a circular pit about 30 feet in diameter. There's a hole at the top of it about the size, maybe a little bit larger than a manhole cover. This was the place that criminals, I mean, we're talking hardened criminals, death row criminals, about 30 to 35 of them at a time would be thrown into. They were incarcerated in this pit during the time of the Apostle Paul. And it's likely that this is where one of the greatest Christians, greatest evangelists, church leaders, teachers, writer of half of the New Testament, where he spent his final days before the Romans beheaded him. In chapter 1, verse 16 of his letter, 2 Timothy, Paul tells us that he is in chains. He is literally chained in that pit. In chapter 2, verse 9, we're told that he was treated like a criminal and he was chained in a place with criminals. And Paul knew that his own execution was near. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near." What an unjust reward for an innocent man. And Paul, I mean, more than an innocent man. I mean, we're talking about a man who brought the gospel of Jesus, salvation, to the very people who took his life. But Paul was familiar with this. This is just what he understood life as. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And let's see just what life looked like for the Apostle Paul. "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one." Why minus one? Because at 40, people would die. They brought him to the place of death 5 times with the whip. Verse 25, "3 times I was beaten with rods." Think of a baseball bat. "I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones." 3 times. Actually, he was left for dead that time. 3 times I was shipwrecked. "I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have gone often without sleep. I've known hunger and the thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And would the Lord please forgive us for complaining about the circumstances we enter even worse than that, judging God's love for us, judging what He's doing in us and through us, judging the effectiveness that God is having and His grace is having in our lives and through our lives. May the Lord have mercy on us and change our thinking. For here is a man who went through all kinds of difficulties, yet he was mightily used by God to bring the gospel, to launch the church. He was blessed by the Lord, highly lifted up. He was used by the Holy Spirit to write half of the New Testament. We cannot judge what God is doing. We cannot judge His love for us based on our circumstances. We got to get beyond that, church. We don't want to participate in that kind of belief. It will not take us closer to the Lord. It will take us closer to the comforts of this world that we are being and have been through Christ Jesus delivered from into something much better. There will be troubles and toils. We live in a broken world. But God uses us, broken people, to glorify Him and to bring His kingdom and to accomplish His plans and purposes. How exciting is that? And so this letter, 2 Timothy, it's the final letter written by a man who ran the race. He finished strong. He went all in. And he wanted to hand off the baton of faith to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he wanted to hand it off to the whole church, to a church that was filled in the Spirit, that was filled with the grace of God, that was bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to the lost and to the lonely, that was advancing God's plans and His purposes until Christ would return. And so these are the last words of the Apostle Paul. And as such, I believe we should listen to them with great concern and with great commitment. Because the precepts and the promises in this letter are for us, for every one of us, young and old in the faith, for all of us. This encouragement is for us. And so in this letter, we encounter Paul passing the baton of faith, encouraging Timothy and all the believers to run the race of faith. So you ready to listen to what God has to say to us? Let's grab the baton. Let's run the race. Ready, set, go. Why are we talking about passing the baton, though? Why are we talking about races and all that? Is that just some kind of, you know, really cool gimmick, you know, because we can have a screen with batons and racetracks and all of that? Is that just something Pastor Eric is doing to try to make a point? No, this analogy has been used before. In fact, it's the Apostle Paul who used this analogy of running the race and the Christian life often in his writing. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race," talking about the Christian life now, "in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize." Many believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. It's been debated forever. It's from God. It's the word of God. It's from Him. But many believe Paul wrote it. One of the reasons they believe Paul wrote it is because of this passage found in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And again, this analogy of running a race. And it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," and he's talking about the amazing believers, the men and women who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, "since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, rock stars, major giants in the faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." And as that word came earlier, that nail, let us pull those nails out of the wall and let's send them back to the sender. Let's get those nails out of our lives that give access to the enemy to hang junk all over us. Let's get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You have a race marked out for you as a child of God. Let's run it. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul writes in chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We're in a race. We're in a race. In 2004, in the Summer Olympics in Athens, the United States women's 4x100 meter relay team took the track, took the finals as the favorite. After two legs of the race, run by Angela Williams and Marion Jones, the United States were in front as expected. But as Jones attempted to pass the baton to her teammate, Lauren Williams, as you see in the picture here, they were unable to make the exchange. It didn't happen. They dropped it, and as a result, they finished dead last. Dead last. It's not the first time, nor will it be the last time in a relay race where the fastest athletes, the team that should win, doesn't win because they fail in the passing of the baton. They drop it. And unfortunately, the same thing can also happen when it comes to passing on our faith to those who follow behind us. Paul recognized this. He recognized the importance of passing faith to the next generation. That's why he spent so much time. That's why he wrote so many letters. And that's why he discipled so many people in order to train them like Timothy so that they would be equipped to carry on the work of Christ, bringing his kingdom right here, right now. And so Paul, having run the race, finishing strong, he's passing the baton. And the passing of the baton begins with a reminder. As we go back to 2 Timothy, begins with a reminder that we have a great inheritance. As a people of God, members of his family, his children, we have a great inheritance. We have a heritage of faith. You do. We have to be reminded of this. Paul believed that Timothy needed to be reminded that he has a great inheritance, a heritage of faith. Those who have gone before us, those who have run the race, those who have passed the baton off to us. So we continue in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, Paul writes, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did. Do you see the past? Do you see his understanding of those that have gone before him? I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you, Timothy, my spiritual son, Timothy. In my prayers, I remember you, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. God is so good. He's good to his children. And we find his goodness in the fact that he gives us one another. Look around the room. You'll see the goodness of God. God's goodness. One another. We're not alone. You're not alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have spiritual fathers and mothers. We have spiritual sons and daughters in the Lord to do life with, to pray with, to lean on. We have others that God uses in our lives to build us up, to encourage us. God is so good. And we see his goodness right here in the room, his family, the family that we've been placed in. In addition to those great men and women of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 that we just alluded to a little bit earlier, we also know that there are countless others who ran the race of faith since then, who have grabbed the baton, who have finished well, and who've passed the baton on to others, the next generation and the next. And when I was contemplating this and thinking on this week, I thought of Billy Graham. Billy Graham. This is a man who preached the gospel to millions, to kings, to presidents. He saw hundreds of thousands come to Christ in his evangelism crusades. Just in those crusades alone, hundreds of thousands coming out of darkness into the light, into freedom, into salvation in Christ Jesus. But he didn't stop there. He knew it wasn't just about what was going to be accomplished in his life alone. He knew that it was greater than that. And so Billy Graham passed on the baton of faith to so many. To so many who come to Christ, but one of those was his own son. His children. One of them, Franklin Graham. Here's a picture of Billy and Franklin. Now, those of you who know the story of Franklin Graham know that the baton handing off and the, you know, wasn't necessarily really smooth. It wasn't like Franklin had his hand back there just, you know, ready for it right at the right time. It took him a while to come around to grabbing that baton and running his leg of the race, but he took it. The exchange was successful. And we see that now as the work of the kingdom continues from generation in that family to the next generation. That's God's kingdom. That's how things work in his kingdom. Just as a side note, I've been asked to be involved in the steering committee for the Franklin Graham Festival. It's going to occur in 2017 here in Arizona. He's going to go to all 50 states and he's going to have a solemn assembly in all 50 states and praying over this nation, repenting and asking God to rescue us and to save us. And I believe that that is absolutely necessary and he's committed to doing that. And I'm blessed to just to have a little small little part in that as he comes to the Capitol and as we have the opportunity as the greater body of Christ to come together and cry out to God. And he will hear us. He will. Passing on the baton of faith, running the race of faith. I also think of those who've immediately gone before us here. I think of Word of Grace Church. Again, that my family and many families here were involved in for decades, really. I think of Pastor Gary Kinneman, who was my pastor for over 15 years, who preached just a few weeks ago from this pulpit. Well, not this exact one. I'll tell you about this pulpit here in a bit. I think of the churches and the ministries that have been launched in the East Valley because of that ministry, Word of Grace, and the faithfulness that they had to the kingdom and the call of God. But Pastor Gary and Word of Grace, they received the baton years earlier. They received the baton from Pastor Charles McCatton and Gospel Echoes Church. It's one of the first charismatic churches from way back in the 60s and 70s here in the state of Arizona. So many churches, so many ministries that were launched that are tied back to the faithfulness of that group of people. And there are those in this room right now. In fact, if you're in this room right now and you were involved in Gospel Echoes in some way, raise your hand. I know we have at least one or two. Boom, look, they're all over here. Oh, we got one over here. Look at this. Look at this. The race being run, the batons being passed, the faithfulness of the people of God. I have the blessing of calling John McCatton, Charles, one of his sons, the blessing of calling John a friend of mine. And we get together often. Sometimes it's in his realm, which is in the area of government, as he's one of the advisors to our Congressman Matt Salmon. He's bringing the kingdom of God into that area. He is doing big things to advance the kingdom and to bring the righteousness of Christ Jesus into that area. And I have the blessing where we get together often and we pray with one another right here in the prayer room on the other side of this wall. We'll share how you're doing, what's going on in life, and then we'll pray for one another and bless one another and go and run the race, bringing God's kingdom, loving on people and seeing what God wants to do. Here's a neat fact. You wonder, okay, why, Eric, do you have this old school 80s acrylic podium here? I mean, what is this? Like, is this where we're going? Is this, you know, this is like throwback Sunday. This podium right here is one of the podiums that was used at Gospel Echoes back in the day. Pretty awesome. John said, hey, I've got this podium. Do you want it? I said, I want it. Bring it on. I want it. I want it. The baton being passed. Those who've gone before us, who have run the race, who have passed the baton off to us so that we now have the opportunity to run the race and bring God's kingdom and see God's plans and purposes happen in our life, in our time. We're not alone. We have a rich heritage of faith. We're part of God's bigger plan of bringing heaven to earth. We're part of His story. History. His story. God has a story. And there are so many chapters that have been written, and we're part of one of those chapters. We're part of His big story, His big plan that culminates in Christ returning. We're part of that. This isn't just about us getting through life, trying to figure it out, trying to deal with the issues of life, which, by the way, pale most of our issues in comparison to what the Apostle Paul went through. It's not about us just trying to deal with life and make it and be as comfortable as possible. That's not it. It's about being part of His story. What a blessing. You get to be part of His story, of His plans, of His purposes. He's given you the baton. He has chosen you, marked you, chosen you to be on His relay team. You're on His team. You're running in the race. And the finish line is Christ returning. Whew! And we get the prize. At the end of Hebrews 11, after highlighting so many men and women of extraordinary faith, we find this amazing statement. It's in verse 39. These amazing giants in the faith, so faithful, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Now that doesn't seem fair, does it? But God, You're faithful. What do You mean? They didn't receive what had been promised. What do You mean? None of them had received what was promised, since God had planned something better for us. God has something better for us. Better. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us, that's where it gets crazy, only together with us, the church, those who have the baton, this generation and the next generation and the next generation, only together with us would they be made perfect. Wow. And so we return to 2 Timothy. But before we do that, do you see the connection of the generations here in this passage in Hebrews 11? Do you see how we're tied together? How it's not like we're just this group of people who are just plopped here on this earth and we got to figure it out and do whatever we can do for Jesus and let's just get busy for God and all that. That this is about the generations. Do you see that we are so connected that it is when we all run our leg of the race and we persevere and we pass the baton off to the next generation? It's at the culmination of that Jesus comes and He brings the much better Himself to dwell with man forever and ever and ever and ever. That is glorious, and we're part of that. We got to get our eyes to be eternal again. We got to get our eyes off of the temporal. We can't let the enemy get us, suck us in to all the details and the minutiae of life to the point where the joy and the marvel of the reality of eternity with Christ gets just lost somewhere there. We have to live in this reality. The better than is coming. His name is Jesus. And we're all connected in this story, His story. That'll get you up in the morning. You know what I'm saying? And so back to 2 Timothy. Paul opens the letter with his heartfelt appeal. And as you read this, you really do, you can just feel the emotions of this man coming off the pages. A real man with real emotions who loved Timothy, had a heart for people, loved the church, loved Jesus. And he wants Timothy and the rest of the church to remember this prized spiritual heritage that we've received from the generations that have gone before us. See, Timothy had a grandmother, and he had a mother that knew Jesus, loved Jesus, were all in with Jesus, who passed on that faith to their son, to their grandson, Timothy. Parents, grandparents, you have a powerful effect on your children. on your grandchildren. I mean, your faith really matters. Running the race matters. Passing on the baton of faith matters. Living out your faith loud and sincerely, where your children get to see it, matters. It can change generations when we do it that way, when we live this way, when we have this perspective. It can change communities. It can change history when we choose to live out of this reality. How you run your race of faith and how you pass off that baton of faith can alter the eternal destiny and change your family tree. Do you understand that? You can change your... Maybe you say, well, I didn't get the baton from my biological mother or my biological father or grandfather. I didn't get that. I got it from a spiritual mother or a spiritual father. Praise God! Yes! But what are you doing with the baton? Do you have this vision that Paul is sharing with the church, this generation-to-generation vision, that you can literally change the spiritual DNA and eternal destiny of your family tree? You can create a whole new spiritual family tree when we grab this reality and understanding. A family tree that produces righteousness from generation to generation. And I want to share with you, it's never too late. I love that Paul points out the grandmother. Sometimes we think, well, I'm retired, I'm a grandmother, I'm done parenting, the kids are all out of the house, it's finished. No, you're alive. You got the baton. Look for those to pass it to. Pour into them. Share with them what God has done in you. And just see what happens. It will affect generations. It will contribute to His story. God's story. You might say, well, I don't have any kids. I don't have any grandkids. That's all right. Apostle Paul didn't either. He didn't have any biological children or grandchildren, but he had so many spiritual sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, and it goes on and on and on throughout history. He caught God's heart for passing the baton of faith to the next generation. And so just as others have gone before us, as others have run and are running the race, as others have paved the way, advancing the kingdom of God and passing that baton of faith, we too are called to do the same thing. We're called to leave a heritage of faith. Like I said earlier, we're not just here to get through this life. We're here to run our leg of the race and pass off that baton. Pass it off. Another thing I want to make sure we understand is that we're not starting something new. Sometimes we think that, man, we got to figure it all out and make it all up sometimes. No. We're not starting something new. We're continuing something that Jesus began in the new covenant that's been passed on to others, is now given to us to shepherd, to grow, and to pass on. I would like for you to turn with me to Psalm 78. It's one of the 12 songs or psalms written by Asaph. Psalm 78 says this: my people, I could sing it for you, but I'm not going to put you through that right now. It is a song. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth, the psalmist writes. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. this psalm and throughout God's word, we are reminded that each generation has a responsibility to pass the faith on to the next generation. The responsibility begins at home with our children, with our sons and daughters, with fathers and mothers teaching their children. But that responsibility is shared by the community of faith. I'm going to say something right now that's going to make some of you, cringe. The responsibility is shared by the community of faith. It's actually a collective commitment. Collective. Oh. It's a collective commitment. It's a commitment that we make together as a family of believers, as a church family, to pass faith on from generation to generation. That's just what we do. We help one another grow in God's love. We pass on this baton of faith. We do it with care because we understand the importance of this race that is being run by generation, generation to generation. Through Christ, we're all members of a spiritual family, the family of God. And we're called to have spiritual children, those who were discipling, and those who were helping to grow in the love of God. That's just how it works. We have our Pauls who are ministering to us and pouring into us. Praise God for the Pauls in my life that minister to me and encourage me and build me up and keep me accountable. And we're also called to have Timothys, those that we're pouring into. Some of those are your biological children. Don't think you have to stop there. Go beyond. There are so many that need a Paul in their life, passing the baton of faith off to. We all share the responsibility for passing on the baton of faith to the next generation. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. It's recorded in Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you received. Freely you received. Freely give. Pass it on. I want to ask the worship team to come up. As I was praying into this week, I was thinking about how much time we can end up spending trying to put together an inheritance, something that we can pass on to our children. How much time we will spend trying to amass wealth, financial wealth, money, savings, stuff that accumulating thing, houses, whatever it might be, stuff that we can pass on to the next generation, stuff. We spend a lot of time doing that. In fact, that's what the world tells us to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. If the Lord has blessed you financially, steward that well. If he's blessed you and you're using it for the kingdom and you have that to pass on to the next generation that you've passed the spiritual baton of faith to, who will then steward what God has given for his glory, pass it on. There's nothing wrong with that. Being wealthy, having money, there's nothing wrong with that. God gives the church and his people finances for his purposes. Praise God for that. But there's something much bigger, much more important. There's something eternal that's not temporal, that won't wither away, that we are called to pass on to the next generation, to our children and grandchildren, spiritual children, grandchildren, biological, that we're called to pass on to the next generation. And that is Jesus. We're called to pass Jesus, the gospel, the grace of God, the goodness of God, faith, pass it on. That's what we're called to pass on. And that gift, that inheritance that we pass on will never wither away, will never disappear, will never disappoint, and will change history for generations to come as we wait for that finish line of Jesus returning. Let's keep an eternal perspective. When you do, life starts to make sense. When you keep that eternal perspective, you start seeing God show up in areas of your life. Think eternal. Keep your eye on the prize, on Jesus Christ, the author, the perfecter of your faith, you won't drop the baton when you do that. And you'll pass it on to that next generation who, by God's grace, will even run faster than us. You always want that person who runs the last leg of the race to be the fastest, to finish it off. I believe we're right at passing that baton off to that generation. I really do. I really do. Let's stand up. The Apostle Paul pleads with the church, and he says, run this race in such a way as to receive the prize. I'm looking at a room filled with runners who are running, and I know will continue to run and pass off with a successful handing of the baton to the next generation. For the glory of God, we're going to make history. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. As we close, I want to give all of us an opportunity to respond to God. You know, God loves you. He loves you. You have an opportunity to respond to Him today. Maybe you're visiting here today. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you haven't been to church for a long time. You're just kind of checking out. Maybe you've been here a few times. You're just trying to check out this God thing. And is this for me? And can I really be part of His family? Let me just say yes. Yes. I really do believe it's no accident you're here. You know, God loves you so much that He has you here to hear the truth that He wants you to be part of His family. He created you to be part of His family. If you came today, I believe it's because God is doing something in your life. He's moving in your life right now. He's wooing you. He's calling you. He's drawing you to Him. You have a hunger in your heart to know God, to know Him more. If I'm describing you, if that's where you are right now in your life, I want to encourage you to say yes to God today, to say yes to Jesus today. Say yes to the one who loves you, the one who went to the cross to take the penalty for your sins, the one who gave His life so that you could have new life, peace and joy and wholeness as a child of God. I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus with a prayer, to turn your life over to Jesus today. So with every eye closed and head bowed, I want to invite you to just pray this prayer after me. You just say, Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, You are the Son of God. Thank You for what You did for me. I invite You into my life today to change my life, to make me new today and forever. I need You, God, to work in my life. I need to be forgiven. Forgive me, Lord. Give me a new life. Jesus, thank You for making Yourself real to me today. Jesus, You are my Lord and my Savior. If you prayed that prayer with me today, if you made that unique and really eternal decision, I want to ask you to be bold and to raise your hand and just acknowledge what great thing you just did. If that's you, if you prayed that prayer, would you just raise your hand? Just acknowledge the decision you've made. Amen. I see hands going up in the room. God is good. Amen. God is good. The baton is being passed. There are new runners in the race today. Maybe those who have... Amen. New runners. Maybe those who've fallen away that maybe tripped and they've gotten back up. There are new runners in the race, brothers and sisters now running alongside of us, with us, that we can now encourage as we run together and see history continue to be made. I want to ask the altar ministry team to come up. These are just amazing folks who love Jesus and they love you. As we close, as we're about to dismiss, if you have any need for healing, for God to move in your life, don't walk out of here the same. Come and ask them to pray with you and for you. But I want to speak specifically to those of you who just said yes to Jesus, who are now runners in this race, members of His family through Christ Jesus. I want to ask you to come up as we dismiss and everybody's kind of going in the lobby and doing their thing. You come up and just share what you just did with these folks right up here. They want to encourage you. They want to bless you. They want to give you some resources. They want to come alongside of you. And they just want to celebrate with you. That's it. Do that. They'll help connect you also into this family. It's not weird. It's just a lot of people, good people who love God and really do love you.